Disrupt Nation. My name is Anthony Delgado, and today we have a dope guest. He is one third of Build Your Empire. He's been a serial entrepreneur for over a decade. Generated millions of dollars in sales and revenue. My good friend, Josh Dennys. Am I saying it correctly, Denny or Den?
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Anthony. Glad to be
Absolutely,
here, buddy.
Absolutely, man. So thank you again for being on the show, man. Before we talk about Build Your Empire and your marketing company and all the things that you're working on now, let's talk about, like, entrepreneurship isn't really taught in school, right? So let's talk about, what was your first introduction to entrepreneurship?
And my first introduction to entrepreneurship was probably, as a kid selling candy, selling candy door to door, selling M&Ms or whatever, the school, sometimes your elementary school does those. I don't know if they still do it, but they do these drives where you'd have all these different toys to pick from, and you had to go sell a bunch of subscriptions or you had to go sell candy. And if you for X amount of sales that you get one of those toys. So, that was my first entrepreneurial venture. And then at 17, I got introduced to the concept of network marketing. And what I loved about that was it gave me access to mentors, to people who had already achieved massive success and were interested in helping me win. Now, of course, because the way that structure works, you end up in someone's downline, right? You end up in an organization of somebody else. So they're incentivized to help you win because they're able to get paid off your efforts. So if you become successful, then they win too. So it was really a good experience for me because, growing up, I didn't really have people that were very successful around me that, as far as the financially speaking, nobody I knew in my neighborhood did well financially. So when I got into a network marketing environment, I saw people who were making, an absolute fortune, but more importantly than the money, they had time. They had lifestyle. They had what I wanted, right? They had lots of nice things and a lot of time to enjoy them. And so I got access to those people. And they also gave me recommendations of books to read and audio cassettes to listen to. It was my first, I was introduced to Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. These books revolutionized my life, Anthony. They shifted the way I viewed the world because up until that point, I really didn't understand how people could become successful. It wasn't around me. So because I didn't see it, I didn't have the ability to relate with it, if that makes sense. It's more like success, Anthony, to me looked like smoke. You could see it. Obviously it was there, but when you went to grab for it, it just slipped between your fingers because I didn't know how to harness it. I didn't understand that back then. And being introduced to people who've already succeeded and have kind of cut a path, if you will, with a machete through the jungle and found paradise. And then they come back to the other side and say, listen, follow me. I know where it's at. And when you can follow somebody through a path that they already carved out, it saves you a lot of time and headache. And if you listen, you actually can get there further and faster than your predecessors. And that's kind of the idea of a mentor, the idea of someone who's actually done it and wants to take you there. If they're effective in that, they'll make certain that you succeed further and faster than they ever did. Kind of like martial arts, right, Anthony? To become a grandmaster, the only way you can achieve the highest ranking position in the martial arts community is to be so effective at teaching your students that they can beat you. And I think that whole introduction to that world put me on this path of entrepreneurship and building businesses and working with people, which I think is one of the best things to do in the world.
Definitely. Well, yeah, and they say, like, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, then you go with others, right? So in these multi-level marketing companies, you have a whole tribe of people who are working towards one goal. They're helping each other. They're giving each other advice and tips, and you're able to get, like, a lot farther than you would by yourself, right?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not involved in network marketing anymore, but I did. I spent 20 years in that field, and you know, a lot of people have a misconception about it. And here's what I'll tell anybody who's just starting off in business. You know, especially if they don't have much resources or they don't have a lot of capital to start with, or they don't have any skills. And that's kind of where I was at. I had no skills, okay? At least business skills. But you know, I didn't have really any formal education. I dropped out of high school in 10th grade, so you know, I didn't really finish any traditional schooling, let alone college, and I didn't go to many classes, so I didn't have that skill set, and I didn't have anyone around me to teach me. So what helped me was, you know, I got involved with a bunch of other people that were doing well and had a product that was already developed. You know, I didn't have to. One of the things about being in business, Anthony, you're well aware of this, is you got to bring something to the marketplace, right? And there's a lot of infrastructure that you have to start building around that in order to support growth and to support your ability to actually have revenue, right? Okay. So network marketing kind of takes a lot of the headache of a traditional business away. You don't have to worry about any of the logistics or you know, dealing with employees or dealing with you know, product innovation, or how you deliver that product and shipping and all the different things. You just have to worry about, or focus, you just have to focus on the two things that are vitally important in any business, which is sales and marketing. You know, if you can have the best product in the world, you have the best service in the world, but if you're not good at sales and marketing, who cares? No one's gonna know. And you're gonna have a failed business regardless of how stellar and how intelligent that your product is or how maybe amazing you are. If you can't sell, you can't market, doesn't matter. So I always recommend, if people are just getting started off in business, join a network marketing company. Find a good one that you can kind of relate with, that you kind of like their service or product, and go through their training. And I think it's one of the best business schools that you'll get anywhere. And so that's my recommendation for almost anybody. It's like, man, it's cheap, relatively speaking. I mean, we go to these conferences, Anthony, you know, we go all over the world, going to these things, and I, you know, if you're like me, I'm gonna spend $10,000-$15,000 on conferences, you know, going to one. Okay, you know, Anthony Robbins Business Masters, you know, 10 grand, okay, and that's not including your flight, your hotel, your food, you know, all that stuff to be there for a week. So it's expensive for that conference, but it's worth every penny. Now you can get access to great people there, but again, you spend a ton of money. And a network marketing company, I mean, pretty cheap, couple hundred bucks, maybe $1,000, you're in the deal. And you know, their conference is usually like a couple hundred dollars, and you get to meet all these people who are all fired up and going in the same direction you are, and are incentivized financially to teach you. You don't have to hire them, you don't have to pay them, okay? They you know, they show up and they teach you what they know. Now obviously I'm generalizing, because there's a lot of idiots out there, and you could get started in a company, people don't know what the heck they're doing. But I promise you, there's someone somewhere up on that upline that knows what the heck they're doing, is having tremendous success, and will be delighted to find out that you are excited, that you want to work with them. So, you know, that skill set can kind of translate into any business that you'll ever do after that. So that's why I think if you're young and you're just getting started off, it's a good place to start.
Definitely, definitely. So let's talk about maybe some turning points in your life. So, you know, today, you're an entrepreneur, you're an investor, you've had multiple successes, but like you mentioned, you dropped out of high school when you were in 10th grade. So what was a turning point, maybe financially, where you left the scarcity mindset and you felt abundance, and you felt like, okay, like quote unquote, I've made it, or quote unquote, like I know at least I'm going in the right direction. Was there a certain point in your life where you had a turning point of success?
I think there's been a bunch of them, Anthony. You know, the first one was the realization that it's possible to succeed. You know, when you start to see it enough times, you see it, you know, especially when you show up at these different conferences, you know, you see other people winning. And it's only a matter of time before it starts to click in your brain that, hey, you know what, I can do it too. You know, and that, I think that was the first turning point, is I met some people that I really didn't think had any right to succeed. Not judging them, but you know, you've met some people out there that you're just like, goodness gracious, if that guy can make a bunch of money, I know I'm gonna get rich. And you start to see some of these people. And again, not making myself better or below anybody. I don't think there's anyone that's above us and anyone below us. We're kind of on level field. But there's some people that you're like, man, you know, it kind of, because again, if you're like me, I used to look at these successful people almost like they were wizards, you know, freaking Gandalf or something, you know, like had some magic spells or they were born the right way in the right family. They had some specialized knowledge that was handed down to them from their freaking, you know, their blue blood grandfather or whatever. You know, I didn't know because I hadn't been around it. But when you start to see other people that are like you, right, maybe, you know, your same situation, right? Your same background, your same heritage, your same, you know, your same religion, your same freaking, the color of your skin, whatever your race is. You know, for me, I'm a short dude. You see some other short dudes winning, you're like, yes, that guy's like me. You know, when you see someone like you, that's the first turning point. The second turning point is for me was when I actually made a profit for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, when I sold the product. And I got paid, you know, and I got paid just a little bit, but there was a profit there. You know, I bought this water filter for, I think it was $100. I sold it for $120 and I made $20. I'm like, man, you know, that's cool. You know, I did that. You know, I went out and did that. And I kept doing that over and over and over again. You could see where you start to get this, this momentum and you can see that, okay, yes, I see it's possible. One, two, all right, it's possible for me. I made a profit. I think your first dollar is probably the most important dollar you'll ever make it if you do it with profit, because you'll find that profits are better than wages. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, wages, make, you know, Jim Rohn says the best. He said, you know, wages make you a living, but profits can make you a fortune. And once you understand profit, you know, how to take a product or service to the marketplace in exchange for profit, you can see a true way out. You know, whatever situation you're in, and you go, okay, I can sell myself out of this situation. You know, I don't have to let my circumstances dictate my future. I don't have to let them dictate my situation or my environment anymore. I have now a path to be able to succeed, to be able to go to where I want to go. So that was the second turning point. The third turning point was learning to leverage the efforts of others. You know, when you build a company, you need to hire others. You know, entrepreneurs, for most of us, you know, we're kind of type A personalities. Kind of, most of us get driven into this because we're aggressive. We don't like being told what to do. You know, we kind of like to do it ourselves. And Anthony, you said it, you know, earlier, you know, to go fast, go alone, but to go far, go with a bunch of people or go with a team. You think the thing is, like, it's hard to delegate. It's hard to do that as an entrepreneur in the very beginning because kind of like you're kind of a one man shop. You kind of got to do everything. But once you learn how to recruit other people into your vision of your business enterprise and get them to align their efforts with you, not make money off them, but make money with them, it's a difference in philosophy. And as you start to recruit more and more people, you're providing opportunity for them and you're leveraging your own time so you can do what you do best, you know, whatever that is for you. You kind of find out where your swim lane is and stay in that swim lane and just get good at swimming in that. And then, you know, you recruit other people that can kind of do the things that maybe you don't want to do, or maybe you're not that good at yet, or maybe you never want to be good at. He's like, look, I'm never going to be good at this. I'm not an organized person. I'm going to hire people to be organized. I don't want to learn the law. I'm going to hire an attorney. I don't want to learn about taxes. I'm going to hire a tax attorney. You start to get this team around you of people that are sharp in the areas that you need them to be sharp in, and you focus on what you do, and that's when you can start to multiply. You go from, you know, addition of profit to multiplication of profit, which gets really exciting.
Definitely. What type of tips do you have for team building, for picking the right people and inspiring them to buy into your vision and things of that nature?
I think one of the best things to do is just hire good people, okay? You know, I like to hire people that have character. I like people around me that have good character. And so before I bring someone close to me that's going to be in my employment in any capacity, whether they're going to be a business partner or they're going to work in one of the companies, it's vitally important to me that you know, they have a good come from, right? Their heart's in the right spot. And you got to spend time there. You got to really spend time getting to know somebody. It doesn't have to take a long time, but I think it's important to really get to know people. The craziest thing is most of the people that you want to hire right away are great salespeople, right? They know how to sell themselves. And be careful not to get caught up in their charisma and their sales pitch of what they do. Check them out. Check out their references. You know, I like to listen when someone's pitching me. I just listen to them. I ask them a bunch of questions. I find out as much as I can. And then I just cross-reference everything that they told me. I remember it. If I start, you can usually pick up whether someone's exaggerating or they're, you know, they're not telling you the whole truth. And once you figure those, like, I tell you what, like once a couple conversations with someone, you can pretty much figure out where they're at, right? Where they're at mentally, whether they're trying to get you to believe something, or whether they're just being who they are. And they really do have a track record and that speaks for themselves. And then you can see some of the references, you know. Today it's hard, Anthony, because you know, social media, you know, people can kind of fake it in a way, right? They can put out just what people want to see. They can hide, they can portray only the positive, hide all the negative. And you know, I've been fooled myself by a lot of people who look really good. You know, they look good digitally, but then once you poke around a little bit and you start to get some get some conversations with people that they're around, you kind of get a little bit better of a picture of who they are. So I would say take your time in hiring people and be quick to fire people. You know, I just take your time on the front end. It's a lot harder to get rid of them later. You know, really, really find out who you're dealing with. You know, if you want to be in business with them, that's first. You know, second is then, you know, if you find someone really good, the challenge with the really good people are they have a lot of opportunity and they know it. You know, they are skilled. They are talented. And people like that typically have a lot of people knocking on their door. So then you got to get good at really conveying what it is you're doing. What's your vision? Why are you building your company? You know, what's the real purpose behind it? Now, sometimes a company may be a means to another end, meaning that I've started companies that were only in business to finance other companies where my real vision was because I needed capital to fuel this one. And I didn't want to go delude myself out by raising it with venture capital guys. So I'll start a training wheel company or start a company that'll fund that, like a cash company. This won't be sexy. It won't be hot. There's no real vision. It's just, you know, we're selling some product that doesn't really matter, right? There's value there, but it's not like going to move the needle in a big way and get people fired up to go, you know, tattoo your company brand on their body, okay? But that company would be to fuel the one where someone would tattoo the brand on their body and they get caught up in that vision and that mission that you have. So you got to kind of reach deep, find out what it is you want, where you're going. And a lot of times people follow you because you know, you're making a difference in the world. You're going to go do something. And here's the last thing I'll say on this, because when you're recruiting people, you may have the tendency to try to recruit them into being an entrepreneur like you. Okay. I know I had that challenge because the way my brain thinks is why doesn't everyone do this? But a lot of people don't want to be entrepreneurs. Okay. And maybe they do kind of in their mind, but really they don't. They'd rather be a support mechanism to an entrepreneur or to you. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. We need people like that. Okay. And those people sometimes, you know, they end up doing extraordinarily well and still make a fortune and do good by attaching themselves to a successful entrepreneur. So anyway, I don't know why I got off on that tangent, but I think you get the point.
Yeah, no, definitely. What, I mean, you touched on a lot of different topics around like team building, inspiring others, right? How do you inspire people, especially in MLM? I don't know how long you were involved with those types of organizations, but you're getting people to buy into a vision with MLM that's has a lot to do with sweat equity, right? It's like you're going to put in the work, and based on that work that you put in, you have an unlimited upside. So how do you get people to buy into it when, you know, maybe they're in that 9-to-5, hey, I want to clock in and clock out type of mentality? When they're not entrepreneurs.
Again, the best way to motivate anybody is find out what's important to them. You know, the things that are important to you, Anthony, may not be important to me. And the things that are important to me may not be important to you. And it's true with most of us, right? All of us have something that is going to drive us deep? And again, the best way to find that out is ask questions. So there wasn't like a one, you know, stamp or cookie cutter for everybody. What made me effective in network marketing is I genuinely cared about people. I didn't care if they you know, joined my team. I didn't care if they stayed with me forever. What I did care about, though, is what they wanted in their life. And then I showed them a vehicle to help them get there. So the network marketing company to me was just a vehicle. It was just, it was a way to be able to do two things. One, you know, make profit and recruit other people and get leverage so you have time. So once you have enough cash flow and time, you can go do what you want. Go do what's important to you. And what's great is most network marketing companies have that option where you can go build a big enough team and you can eventually check out and go do what's important to you. And once you find out what that is, it's easy to lead people and inspire people because you're not casting your vision. You're casting their vision and believing in it and believing in them enough that they buy into your belief. They buy into your belief in them.
So that's what my mentor did for me. It's more, like you said, finding out their vision, their goals, their dreams, what they're trying to achieve, and then designing what you're building together as the vehicle for them to get where they want to be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, showing them a clear path of, hey, look, you said you want to, you want to spend time with your kids. You want to be able to take them to Disney World. You want to be able to be there in the years that are most important to them, right? You want to be able to not have to be, punching that time clock and leaving them during the most important parts of the day and sending your kids to daycare. You want to be there for them. You want to raise your kids. You want to instill the values in them. Great. Here's a plan to make that happen. And here's how we do that. And they go, okay, cool. And once they see it, then, it's easy for them to be inspired and to start moving in that objective. And if you're a good coach, you actually care about them, you'll stay on top of them. You'll work with them. You're not going to tell them to go do it. You're going to do it with them. You're going to sit down with them. You're going to help them make the calls. You're going to help them make the appointments. You're going to help them make the list. You're going to help do the activities that are necessary in that business for them to achieve success. Most people foolishly, they'll go, well, you go do that. Here's what you do. Now go do it. If they knew how to do it, they'd go do it. You got to be there with them. Now, if you don't know how yet, great, find a person who does and go sit with them until you got it down. And it's the same thing, in any business I've ever been a part of. When you bring someone on, you got to sit with them and help them do their job. Help them do what it is you want them to do. And, that way they understand how to work with you. Okay? And again, I do the same thing. Find out what's important to them. And show them your vehicle, your company, whatever it is, that's going to help them get to where they want to be, ultimately.
Definitely. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about your investing now. What do you look for in a company before you invest? What type of company do you invest in? Do you focus on seed capital, later stage? Let's talk about that your investment portfolio.
For me, I invest in the jockey, not the horse. So meaning that, in most of my investments that have been successful are because I invest in the person. I don't really care what they got. Now, I want to dissect that for a second because I do care in the sense that it has to have value. I like companies that are sustainable, that are green, that do good for the environment and have real value for humanity. Okay, so let's put that aside, assume that's an obvious, that's like what it should be, okay? At least for me, that's my thing. And not everyone feels that way, but that's how I feel. So as long as those boxes are checked, then for me, it has to be the person. Who are they? Who's running this company? Who's behind it? Who's setting it up? What's their track record? So I invest in the jockey. Like I'd invest in Elon Musk any day of the week. Now, does he win in all his projects? No, but the guy's a winner. So if you keep doing it, he's gonna win. I got guys that I work with that are like that, maybe not as amazing as Elon, but, people who've done extraordinarily well in their perspective field, and I hitch my wagon to them so I can learn from them. I can invest with them. So I kind of pay the tuition of learning with a great entrepreneur who I know has had a massively successful track record. So now I'm with them. I'm investing in their projects. I'm learning from them and I'm upping my own game at the same time as my money's working for me or for the project to return. So yeah, I like in my own companies, I obviously like investing in myself. So I like early stage. I like taking the idea from, inside your mind of the physical reality to like the manifestation of an actual company that's working and in revenue. So, the brand's done, the sites are up, everything's ready to go. You've now taken the concept, the idea into its material form. But after that, I don't like to operate. I just don't like doing it anymore. I'd rather get people in who love to operate and are better at it than me and can scale it and take it up. So, I like doing that first initial stuff. That to me fuels me. And then, get it up and either sell it off or get enough other people in and break them off enough equity where they'll go take the thing to a home run. As far as if I'm investing in other people's projects, I like investing in projects that I know we can move the needle in with our own marketing company, meaning that if they're taking a product to market, we can get involved there. We can help move that out. So not only is our capital sitting somewhere, it's not completely out of our control to help move the needle so we can kind of drive it up. I also don't like being stuck in private deals without an actual distribution plan in place that's signed. And I prefer being in companies that are going to, have some kind of liquidity event soon, either being acquired or getting on some capital market. So that's what I look for. I mean, pretty basic stuff.
Definitely. Awesome. I have like two more questions. I know we're running a long time. If you had a few words of wisdom for the younger version of yourself, 18-year-old version of yourself, what would you tell yourself?
I tell them go find a John Malott early. go find a guy who's done it. Go find a guy who's accomplished what you want to accomplish, and find a way to provide value to that man or that woman. Here's the thing. Everyone is like, drives me nuts. I meet all these kids that are like, give me. Everyone wants to be, it's like, you should show up and just mentor me. It's like, fuck you, dude. Who are you? No disrespect, but like, I get that all the time. My inbox is full. And I honestly love everybody. I want to help, but I can't. And like, people just ask. You know who gets the attention? It's the person who's providing value. Like someone that becomes an indispensable part of your life. And if you can be that for someone who's already achieved what you want, you're not going to have to ask them to mentor you. They will mentor you. Okay. It's not that like, hey, will you mentor me? It's like, no, that stuff starts happening once you provide so much value that they don't want to lose you. It's like, damn, this kid's providing so much value. I can't not have them in my life, man, whatever it is. And here's what's crazy. For a lot of you youngsters out there, you have a handle on social that guys that are my age and older don't know yet. They don't have that understanding. You can go do that. Instead of trying to, rip them off and take all this money from them, why don't you just start helping them do their thing and help boost their profile? Man, you want to find someone who's going to freaking take care of you and mentor you, teach you some real stuff? Go help somebody like that. Go show so much value that they're like, oh my goodness. Look, where have you been my whole life, man? Let me show you something. And then be cognizant enough to listen. One of the things that drives me nuts is, younger kids just always know everything, always have something to say. There's always something they want to add to the conversation. It's like, it's better to be quiet and listen than it is to try to impress somebody with what you think you know. Because in the end, man, like most people who've lived a lot longer, who are like in their 40s or late 30s or even in their 50s, man, they've been through some stuff. If you're just getting started out, man, believe me, there's not much you're going to tell them that they don't already know. Okay. Now there may be some stuff again on social. So I'm kind of generalizing, but if you can provide tons of value, ask questions, be that student, be that willing student, take a note. There's a young kid I like a lot named Tristan, right? He goes by Suited on Instagram. But man, I tell you what, this kid, anytime he was around me or any of my friends, he had a notepad out, a pen, taking notes, asking questions, taking notes, respectful, attentive, it didn't add a bunch of commentary, was just there, present, just gaining information and providing value any way you could, making connections, doing this, doing that, trying to help add value. And again, if you can be that for somebody, I think you'll find, I think you're not going to have a problem finding a mentor. I think you'll have a lot of people wanting to help you out and help you succeed. Because most people who've done it, you know, they want to turn around and help the next person.
Definitely. Yeah, and I think a lot of, you know, you don't learn that much from speaking, right? Even if you are smarter than someone else, there's still something you can learn from another person in a conversation, you know? The person that thinks they have it all figured out is a fool, right? So it's really like listening, right? Like you don't gain anything from having a closed mind, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, I think there's times to speak up, but you'll know when those times happen. And there's times that, you know, just remain quiet, listen. And a lot of times, if someone's not really ready to receive what you have to say, it doesn't matter anyway. Again, you know, if you're young out there and you're just getting started, my biggest piece of advice is go find someone who's got what you want, provide value for them so they can teach you how they did it. And then you'll shorten your learning curve. You'll get to where they are much faster because you have tools today that weren't around when most of us who've accomplished what we've accomplished today are. We're younger. I mean, it's lightning speed today. I mean, you can make millions of dollars in a fraction of the time it took most people that are 40 or 50 to do it. Okay, for sure. Okay, just, you know, you got to find some people to help shorten the learning curves because there's a lot of things that you don't know. And you may know some great things. You may be rocking right now, making a lot of money. But if you don't get some people around you that have some true business skills, understand how the game is really played, you can get hurt and you can end up going down just as fast as you went up.
Definitely. So last question, what does disrupt mean to you?
Man, I love what you're doing, Anthony. Disrupt is an awesome organization. You guys are making things happen, right? Moving new concepts into an antiquated system, right? A lot of people, they have a way that they think. And for many people, that's a safe way. It's worked before, but you know, it's antiquated in a lot of ways. You're able to disrupt that and bring new life and new growth to the organization and to you know, to the business and to all the people that are connected to it. So, anyway, that's what it means to me. I'm excited about what you're doing, and keep rocking, man. Keep getting all the goodness out there so people can you know, they can grow and learn. And I think entrepreneurship is badly needed in today's economy, not just here in America, but I think all over the world. I think it's a way out for most people, and it's a way to create new innovation and create freedoms for people that don't have it right now. And I'm looking forward to you and the journey that you're going to start or that you're going to continue. So thanks for listening to me. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Thank you. And I'm excited to have Bridger Empires coming down to Puerto Rico. We're doing a collaboration event. End of the year, Q4 2019. So I'm super grateful for you guys and all the amazing work you guys are doing. And yeah, likewise, man. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your insights on the show.
For sure. Hey, Kevin, you mind real quick? I got this book, just became number one bestseller, Amazon, 3 entrepreneur categories, Inevitable. You can get it on Amazon or you can find it on Amazon. But
absolutely. Yeah, we'll put the link in the description for the book. Congratulations on the book as well. What's one thing, like key takeaway from the book that you think people need to know that they can learn from reading the book?
The biggest takeaway for me is just like the concept of how to think. It's one of the, for me, it helped me as a visual of being able to, you know, every day in all ways, you're either adding to a positive or a negative outcome, right? I visualize these scales, right? That scale of balance. If you remember this old school scales, and one's negative, one's positive. And every day you're either adding to the negative or you're adding to the positive. And the way to succeed is by adding more to the positive than that's on the negative. And you do it consistently. And that's by what you see, what you hear, what you read, and who you associate with. So anyway, I appreciate you, my man. I got to go. Thanks so much for your time, Anthony. Disrupt. Appreciate it. And look forward to seeing all of you or some of you at the next conference.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Jay. Talk to you soon.